Test 1 2 3. Can you guys hear me? Testing 1 2 3. Test 1 2.
Couldn't hear me. Abner,
Yeah,
can you hear me now?
I can.
So the sound is good right now, but when we go into executive session, we're going to have to turn it down more. So I don't have that control panel.
Yeah, I can't fix that control panel right now. So
Okay.
we just
Hold
kind of have to
on.
turn it down on Zoom.
Okay, let me tell Marcos. Yeah, turn the volume down more. Okay. Abner, test, please.
Testing 1 2 3. Test 1 2.
What do you think? Lower?
Test 1 2 3. Test 1 2 3.
Go lower.
There, that's better
Testing
right
one
there.
two
Okay.
three.
Right, go back to 17.
Test 1 2. Test 1 2.
There, right
Perfect.
there.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Good evening, everyone. It's December 8th, 2025. I'd like to welcome you to tonight's regular City Council meeting. Would you all please rise for a short private invocation, asking for God's blessing on this city and wisdom as our City Council makes its decisions tonight. Now, if you'll please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ian, welcome everyone. I'd like to open now to item 1D, which is public input. Does any member of the public want to be recognized and address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you, and you can come to the microphone and have up to 5 minutes. I'll go to item 1E, which is roll call. For the record, all council members are present. So I'd move to item 2, which is approval of our agenda tonight.
I'll make the motion to approve tonight's agenda.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Let's now move to our consent agenda.
I make the motion to approve tonight's consent agenda.
Second that.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Now let's move to our current business. Our first item of current business is interviews for the vacant City Council. Excuse me. No. The first item, sorry.
The fire report.
The old agenda. We have with us tonight Steve Towers from Steve's Fire Service. Steve and his company I'll let Steve introduce himself, but they conducted the third party investigation and examination and testing of the city's fire equipment. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Steve Towers. I'm a coastie, so don't throw rocks at me. But we came over to do the inspection on the fire apparatus to verify where the trucks are. Anyway, if you could start the PowerPoint, I'll respond to any questions, but I think we tried to do this where I could limit it to 16 minutes, and if you have questions, I'll address them. Okay, so yeah, we've been in business since 2005. We've done several of these assessments for different cities, including Anacortes and several others since 2006. we were featured in Firehouse Magazine 2014 for our expertise in decision or in a discussion of fire apparatus replacement and versus refurbishing. We have a lot of customers, which are your neighbors, Moses Lake, Euphrata, Quincy, Grant 3, 4, 7, 10, and 13. So we're not a stranger to your area. The purpose here was to evaluate your fire apparatus and the maintenance program by doing hands-on inspections and to review the daily, monthly, quarterly, and annual inspections. And so we did that and then review the maintenance records, the rate maintenance programs and documentation, and then to review the annual required testing of fire pumps and foam systems. So the aerial testing, we started on September 23rd, and we did pump testing on October 6th. Pump testing generally will give you the health of the fire apparatus by testing the cooling system, basically the engine horsepower output, transmission by monitoring temperatures, electrical system. We can monitor all that while we're doing pump testing. then we moved on from there to do annual NFPA inspections. We did that from October 27th to November 13th. And what we found was we needed to do that because of lack of documentation. The actual maintenance that had been performed before, we had no records, or at least wasn't given to us, of when and where and what was serviced. So we decided to baseline the fire apparatus by changing all the fluids and filters. And Robin in the shop helped us with that, so that went smoothly. And you go ahead, Spencer. So the good news is you bought high quality fire apparatus. Yeah, great trucks. Your pumps and aerial were, NFPA annuals were completed third party, which means another company came in to do it who's qualified and certified to do it. So your three engines, your main engines and your ladder, or your two engines and your ladder were had annual inspections done. And in that we dated all of the component services. We changed all of the fluids except for the differentials. Okay, Spencer. So what we use for determining the maintenance and inspection and testing for fire apparatuses, NFPA 1910, which you have that name? So we don't make it up. This is a standard for all of North America, which is Canada and the United States. And it is a standard that's used nationwide. So the standard is not state law in Washington state. Many states it is, but it's referenced in the WAC standard, which is the Washington State Administrative Code. And you can see it on the board there. In terms of maintenance and testing requirements for fire apparatus. So what it says respect to maintenance is that it shall be the responsibility of the authority having jurisdiction to develop and implement a scheduled operational checking, inspection, and diagnostic checks and maintenance of the emergency vehicles and its systems and so forth. Records shall be maintained and the results of all apparatus inspections and maintenance requests and preventive maintenance repairs and testing. And finally, separate files shall be established for each of the individual fire apparatus. So maintenance five is authority having jurisdiction at this point. The records have been kept in an individual file by Adams five for the monthly, quarterly, and inspections. The records have been kept for the annual pump testing, ground ladder testing, hose testing, and five-year third-party NDT testing. So NDT means non-destructive testing. So NFPA also defines inspections to determine the condition of an operation of the components by comparing physical, mechanical, electrical characteristics and the established standards through sight, sound, and feel. Preventive maintenance is the act or work of maintaining the fire apparatus necessary for performative actions. And then documentation, finally, is the written or electronic data or information relative to the emergency vehicle, including operational checks, diagnostic checks, inspections, maintenance, and performance tests. A preventive maintenance must be instituted and records maintained for each individual fire apparatus to record and track the potential ongoing problem. So that is the WAC standard. It is law. Apparatus must be maintained and tested in accordance with the manufacturer's recommendations. Maintenance and inspection records were given to the City of Othello. And in the study of those, I found that maintenance, or Adams 5, does meet all the inspection requirements, the annuals, quarterlies. Adams 5 does meet the emergency vehicle technician certification requirements for their mechanics. But what I found is Adams 5 does not meet the required documentation for maintenance and repair requests, work orders, annual service records, which show the component dates that they were serviced on the individual fire apparatus. Adams 5 does not meet the required documentation for annual aerial maintenance, inspection, and testing. So in our completion of doing the annuals and documentation, we still have some work left to be done. Ladder 8121, we need to change the hydraulic oil filter, which I don't think has ever been changed. Need to put new springs, front springs on the front axle. We'll show pictures of that. It has some aerial testing deficiencies that were noted in the NDT test. It has an exhaust leak at the manifold, exhaust band clamp under the cab leaking, hydraulic leak in the pedestal, very slight one, and needs to have the ladder cleaned and lubed. Rebuild a couple valves, an inch and a half for the waterway drain, and check pump packing adjustment, and rebuild a 3-inch valve as well. As far as 8111, we found algae in the fuel, which is an indicator of a truck that sits in a fire station for a long period of time where it's nice and warm. Will build algae in the fuel system, and if it's not dealt with on a long fire scene, it'll begin to plug fuel filters. So we have pictures of that and some recommendations. So we can go ahead, Spencer.
There was one slide that skipped. Did you mean this bypass system?
No. Okay. Thank you. So our recommendations are to establish a preventative maintenance program template based on NFPA 1910. We can furnish that if the district or the city would like. It's a format by which you can track your aerial engines, brush trucks, tenders, and command vehicles. We'd recommend establishing a maintenance calendar that reflects the service dates and type of service that is required, using the component manufacturer's severe service intervals. Would recommend establishing an aerial testing, either in-house or third-party, at least annually. NFPA 1910 states that cleaning and greasing, lube, hydraulic filter changes, and hydraulic oil sampling should be done annually, and perform annual fluid samples on engines and transmissions to monitor their condition. We did that one. So this is the primary fuel filter out of 8111, which is, it's a 2002, so you know, it's an older fire apparatus. But you can see the gradation between the bottom of the filter, the top being the light brown part, and the bottom. All of that black material caught in there is algae. It comes to a point where the filter is restricted, horsepower goes down on the engine. If you're pumping a long time at a fire scene, it could be a problem. This is the picture of ladder 8121, front springs. You can see it's sitting, there's a rubber stop there that it's sitting on. There should be about a 2 or 3 inch gap between that rubber spring, that rubber stop and that spring. So they either need to be re-arched, replaced, one or the other. This is the hydraulic high pressure filter for, that makes for the aerial hydraulic system. It needs to be serviced annually as per the manufacturer. It took me about an hour and a half to locate this filter. I knew it was there because I'm factory trained from Ewon, the manufacturer, but I couldn't find it. Apparently it hadn't been found because it was, you know, I don't think it's ever been changed. Anyway, the filter's located there. We still need to get the appropriate filter and change that. Okay, Spencer. So finally, the Bureau rating, which is the kind of the governing agency that sets the insurance rates for the city. So the Bureau is scheduled to be here in 2026 to inspect Adams 5 and the city of Othello. The fire insurance rates for the district and the city have been determined by the rating. The rating's 1 to 10, 1 being the best, 10 being the worst. Adams 5 and the city of Othello are currently a 5. The ratings based on the series of credits and debits in the matrix of the water system, the fire department staffing, training, and fire apparatus. We've prepared a set of binders, one for each fire apparatus, that hopefully will make that inspection easier. It contains all the pertinent inspections, checks, pump test, aerial test, all the applicable stuff, or if it's applicable, the weight verification and the road tests from 2022. So we took Adams 5's data from 2022 to present and put it in that binder along with our work, which the annuals, the oil testing, fluid sampling, all of that sort of stuff's in there. We think that if you carry that on in 5-year increments, that you'll have everything that the Bureau needs to come and check at least that portion of the rating that they need to do. So, are questions?
City Council?
You had made note that one of the hydraulic filters appeared to have not been replaced since the equipment was placed into service. Is that my understanding? Mm-hmm. Based on my experience with submarines and hydraulic systems, we would typically inspect and replace hydraulic filters on at least an annual basis.
Correct.
So
the manufacturer says it should be changed. But there's two filters. There's a low pressure and this high pressure. In the defense Adams 5, unless you know it's, you know, like I said, I was factory trained at E1, so I know it's there. I just couldn't find it. Yeah. But if you maybe hadn't been trained to that level, you might not know it's there. It's a 3,000 PSI filter. It's not meant to be accessible, but probably not meant to be that as hidden as it was.
Thank you.
So one thing we did find in the fluid sampling on the engines and transmissions was we found on all three engines, the two engines and the ladder, that the fluid samples on the transmissions came back with a monitor compartment, elevated particle counts and copper and iron. So whatever interval the transmission filter or transmission fluids were being changed at wasn't sufficient to to keep that in with. If you don't have an oil sampling program, you would have no idea. So I would, that's why I'm a big proponent of sampling fluids. It's, you know, $15 a year or something. No questions?
Anyone else? Steve, thank you.
Sorry you had to put up with it. They did have it narrated. And it would have been a lot easier.
Thank you. That was very thorough. Revealing. And we just appreciate the effort that you put into this examination of our apparatus, and it's very helpful for us going forward. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Robin and the shop. They were very welcoming, extremely helpful. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so now let's continue on in our current business. Interviews for city for vacant city council position number 5. Councilwoman Danae Valdez had announced her resignation as a council member of the Othello City Council effective October 27th, 2025. And per RCW 35A.12.050 and RCW 42.12.070, the city council members remaining after Ms. Valdez's resignation shall appoint a qualified person to fill the vacant position. To ensure the city stays within the parameters established by Washington law for the selection and appointment of a qualified individual to the vacant city council position, these were the following recommendations, and we are following that process. Advertise that there's, number one is to advertise an opening on the city council, call for qualified persons interested in filling the vacant position to submit a resume along with a letter of interest. The advertisement shall include the following: persons qualified to be appointed to the city council should apply. Those qualifications were listed only if they're at least 18 years old, a citizen of the United States of America, they're registered to vote, and live within the city limits of Othello. We've had 7 applicants for this vacant position, and all are registered voters, according to Jackie Laird, Adams County Elections Administrator. So all 7 will be interviewed tonight. They all submitted their letters of interest and resumes to the city hall, and we accepted applications until 5 p.m. last Friday. At this meeting, in open session, we will interview all qualified candidates who attend the meeting. We'll adjourn to executive session after all the interviews are completed to evaluate the qualifications of the candidates who were interviewed, and then we'll return to open public meeting and either, one, take final action to appoint one of the candidates, or two, set a date in the future to take final action to appoint one of the candidates, or three, direct the mayor to call upon the public to submit additional applications for the vacant position. Once the council, if they appoint someone tonight by an affirmative majority vote, that new council member will be immediately sworn in and seated on the council dais at this meeting. So with that, we've had 7 members of the public apply for this position, for this open vacant position. And those members, in order of getting their application and letters of interest, resumes and letters of interest, was first Donald Burks, then Chris Doro, then David Miller, next Oscar Lopez, next Dale Wyman, next Jerry Garcia, and then Martin Crowley. In the interest of transparency and accountability, we conducted a random We entered in letter or numbers 1 through 7 into a random generator, and that random generator, the first interviewee will be David Miller. The second interviewee will be number 7, Martin Crowley. Number 5, the next interviewee, number 5, Dale Wyman. The next one, Chris Doro, number 2, then Donald Burks, then Jerry Garcia, and finally we'll finish with Oscar Lopez. So what is the procedure? Are we going to set a table up here with a chair, or are we going to have them come to the dais? How are we going to conduct these interviews? I've come to the microphone. Okay, so at this time I'd like to call forward David Miller.
You need me to?
Oh, excuse me, David. Have a seat, just a second. Okay, we're not quite ready. Councilor Gina Doro has a statement.
Before we move forward with the appointment process, I want to make a brief statement for the record. Although our city attorney has made it clear that I'm fully within my legal rights to participate in this appointment and that no actual conflict exists, I'm choosing to recuse myself out of an abundance of caution and in the interest of maintaining the public trust. My decision is not based on any legal requirement, because there is none. It's based on my commitment to ensuring that this process remains beyond reproach. Even when I am allowed by law to participate, I take seriously the importance of avoiding the appearance of bias or impropriety. I want the public to have the complete confidence that this appointment is made in transparency, fairly and solely in the best interest of the city of Othello. For that reason, despite having every right to vote, I will step back from this particular decision. My recusal is a voluntary act to uphold the integrity of this council and the process before us.
Okay. So Gina is going to recuse herself from this process. I'll have you ask if you'd step down then,
okay,
please.
Where do you want?
You can sit in the audience. Now I'd like to call David Miller. Give us all just a quick second, David.
Sure.
Mayor? Yes.
Are you still keeping all the candidates in here?
I can't hear you.
Are you still keeping all the candidates in here?
Or? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, David, welcome.
Thank you. What
motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table? You'll have 5 minutes. This is the only question, so you can ramble and go anywhere you want, but just wrap it up, be concise, and wrap it up in 5 minutes. And we're gonna have a timer. Is the timer on the screen? Timer?
Yep.
Okay. Tanya, our city clerk, will be the timer.
Okay.
Are you ready? Okay. All right. David.
So by way of introduction, I'm David Miller. I recently moved back to the city 3.5 years ago. I married Joanna Killian in 1992. And worked in Killian Corn off and on for many years. My history of work is as a hotel general manager in numerous different cities, and running a staff of up to 50 people in a restaurant, liquor store, gift shop, and hotel. And I was made aware of this, the need to have additional applicants for city council. I've always been a person that has been, when opportunity came up and there was a need there, if I felt like I had the ability to, I would step up
and offer my services. I've served as a chamber president in a small city in Illinois, on the board in that chamber first, and then chamber president for 12 years. I served on the hospital board marketing committee for Memorial Hospital. I also served on the chamber board in Alpine, Wyoming. So I've got quite a bit of experience, 20 years of experience in different community groups, and a lot of experience in managing people, working with people of different temperaments, decision-making policies and procedures. Not necessarily proficient with Robert Rules of Order, but can carry my own. I feel like I would be a dedicated servant to the citizens of Othello and respectful and conscientious in my service.
Anything you'd like to add?
No.
David, thank you for your time. Thank you for your interest. And a decision will be made a little bit later. Our next interviewee, lost my list already. Okay, the next one on the list is Martin Crowley. Martin?
Mr. Mayor and council members.
I'm gonna ask you the same question, Martin. What motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table?
Well, that'll be pretty easy when you hear what I have to say. I wanna preface my statement tonight with this important point. The most important decision that you will make tonight is to continue the selection of the appointed council member until next month. Last month, the voters of Othello selected three new council members who will sit in those chairs for the next 4 years. They should have a voice in selecting the member who will serve with them for the next 2 years. My family has been here for over 70 years. Both my mother and father came here with their families in the early 1950s. My parents met here, and when they married, they decided to raise their family in Othello. Many people know my dad, Bob Crowley, as the telephone guy who fixed and installed their telephones for 25 years here in Othello. My dad and his eight of his brothers and sisters graduated from Othello High School. My four siblings and I went to school here. Several of my cousins graduated from school here. I obviously have deep roots in this community. That being said, I only determined to apply if I didn't think there would be enough qualified people to choose from. As of last Wednesday, there was only one applicant. No offense to Dr. Burke, who seems like a fine candidate, but I felt there should be several to choose from. It turns out by Friday, six more of us had applied. I have been serving as the chair of the Adams County Local Emergency Planning Committee for the last year. I was also selected to serve on the State Emergency Response Commission last year. I've determined that I will seek to be elected to the chair of the LEPC for another year at our meeting next week. Therefore, I am withdrawing my application from the for the council position, and I would like to lend my support to David Miller to fill that vacancy. David married into one of the very fine pioneer families in this area, the Killian and Roylands families. I grew up with most of them. If the Killian family accepted David into their family, he must be a pretty fine guy. I've only known David for a few years, but I find him to be a man of great integrity, and that's what we need here on the Othello City Council. However, I'm going to end where I started. The most important question and decision that you can make tonight is to continue the selection of the appointed council member until next month. The failure to allow the three newly elected council members to participate and vote on the seventh member would be a slap in the face of the Othello voters and to the principles of representative government. Merry Christmas.
Okay. Martin, before you leave, I just want to confirm something. So you're withdrawing?
I'm withdrawing.
And lending your support to David Miller?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Number, our next one is Dale Wyman. Okay, Dale, I'm going to ask you the question. What motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table?
I guess what motivated me is the upcoming projects that the city has to work on in the next year, 2 years, 10 years down the road. I have experience in doing a lot of projects, and I think I can bring to the council a person who looks at all sides of a project before I dive into it. My first experience with the city on council, or not council, but appointed to the City Planning Commission in 1981. I served on the City Planning Commission until I was appointed to the City Council, and I don't remember, 85 or 86. I spent 10 years on the City Council. I was here when this building was built. I was here when Broadway was rebuilt. I was here when 7th Street was rebuilt. And I think all of the projects that we did, including the swimming pool, was a good project. Maybe there was mistakes made that there is in all projects. And that's part of the reason why I'm applying for this position is I think I can look at the mistakes that was made and be a person that will help make the decision to see that those mistakes aren't made again. We face times of money, and that's one of the biggest things that I see this council having to deal with is the money issues, where it's coming from. Our bonding capacity is such that we can't bond for everything, so we have to look for outside money. But that isn't always available. So what are we going to do? The difference of opinions on how to do these projects is 7 people. And we need to be, I need to be a person that can agree with and contribute to, rather than tell people this is the way it's going to be, and I'm not going to defer from that decision. Thank you for your time.
Anything else you want to add?
No, just that I've been here since we moved into Othello in 1979. I was educated in Idaho, class of 56 in Homedale, Idaho. And one of the main things that I have a problem with our city, and it isn't anything that the council can do about it other than try to encourage someone, we lack a newspaper. I think everyone here will agree with that. If we have a source of educating people and asking for help or letting people know what we're doing, that the council, what's going on, if you don't come to council meetings, too much of it is put out on TikTok and all these things. I can't read that computer or on my phone. I'm lucky I can answer a phone. You know, I learned how to talk on a phone when I was, I think, 10, 11 years old before we had one. So we need to get a source of information. I don't know if we can, if the city is allowed to put in a water bills, a newsletter of some style, or something that gets out what we're doing as a community. Like I said, I started in serving on committees in 81, and I've been on the Mosquito District for 40 years. I was on Board of Equalization for 20 years. Economic Development for 25 years, and Board of Health, the Solid Waste Committee, did my, as you each serve on a committee, I did those committees, so I know what the business of the city is. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Okay, our next candidate is Chris Doral. And it's Chris, let me ask you the question. What motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table?
Throughout my life, I have been involved with service. And one of my deep passions is service to this community. 10 years ago, I was recruited by Larry McCourty to serve on your planning commission. And 5 years ago, I was elected to be the chair of that planning commission. I'm proud of the things we did. I'm proud of the team we had and the things we do. And I think it gives me a background for the future in this position for city council. I have a strong background in zoning. I have a strong background for your comprehensive plan that you're going to be engaging in the future. And I think I can provide valuable insight into those areas as it relates to doing that process. Beyond that, I have, I guess some would say, a vast leadership experience. You can see my CV. I've done a lot of things from being involved with the city at high levels to actually being the founding chair of the Santo Crane Festival. I've been in a lot of the things that started Othello, but beyond that, I was involved in things much more beyond that. I just finished my term as president of the Washington State Dental Association and was able to deliver critical projects and policy for the future of my profession. It's also given me a very diverse background in politics and in public policy. I have a whole lot of contacts throughout the state within state leadership that I'd like to lean on for the good of this community. I'm also the vice chair of the biggest independent PAC in the state of Washington. As such, Olympia knows me. And they contact me and they ask me for opinions in the profession of dentistry all the time. And I always make sure I mention the importance of Othello. Most recently, I hosted a fundraiser for Nikki Torres, who's running for senator in the 15th district, and also was very important for securing a lot of the funding that we got for the Playground of Dreams. Her and I are good friends, and these are the types of relationships that I would like to bring for the city. Besides that, I have deep international experience. I was the number three person, the senior vice president of the Pacific Flyway of Ducks Unlimited, Inc., which is a $500 million international charity. The biggest project that I started and delivered was a 4.8 billion acre project saving and in perpetuity, the boreal forest of Canada. Just little things. And those are the things that I want to bring to my community. We are at a time at a crossroads of great opportunity if we are willing to take it. Everyone is running out of power right now, and we have a glut of excess power. You all took the initiative and have spent 12 years preparing to address our water circumstances, and delivery of that ASR plan is critical for the future of Othello and the opportunities that we can have to hopefully develop or to deliver the mission that never got finalized of making a great small town that delivers for its families and its businesses, so that all of us can prosper together. I would like to be part of that. And I think I bring a lot to the table that could help us do that.
1 minute.
Oh, I got 1 minute? What? Well, you know that I'm never at a loss for words on things that I would like to say and do. I have a strong background in leadership and strategic planning and developing cohesive leadership, cohesive teams. And that is also something I'd like to bring to the city council. We are not supposed to all agree. In fact, if we all agree, that's problematic. But we can work together for the common good. As I said, I just told you all the mission that never quite got finalized that came from 2017. We should have a North Star that guides us and takes us forward. And on that, the mission, the North Star has been canceled. So thank you all for your consideration.
Our next candidate is Dr. Donald Burks. Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question. You'll have 5 minutes. Dr. Don, what motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table?
My motivation was simply public service. I have lived here a few months shy of a decade. When I sold my farm on the more crowded side of the mountains, I could have gone anywhere. Drove around looking for a small town that seemed to have a future and settled on this. North Ella has been good to me. I've enjoyed being a part of the community. Most of you have seen me in different service positions. Since I presently had the time and energy to fill the resigned counselor's position for a time, I thought I should step up and offer my services. You are very blessed to have a wide range of candidates here tonight. All of them could be of good service. Your choice is just to find out which one fits this particular time. As times and seasons change, the needs for personnel change, but it's a luxury for the council to have so many really qualified candidates. I have had a long career in both the military and medicine, and done many things in conjunction with legislative groups, from city councilors to congressmen, and unfortunately have had to deal with regulatory agencies of many kinds over the years. I just bring a different type of service and a different type of background. Your choice tonight is simply which person fits this particular time. I'd be happy to do it, but I would also be happy to support any of the others that I've heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Don. Our next candidate is Jerry Garcia.
Hello.
I'm going to ask you the same question, okay? So, Jerry, what motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table?
Test.
Yeah.
Originally, I was going to apply for the school board, but that election didn't turn out so well. It was fun. It was humbling. So why did I run? I just wanted to help the community, same as these other people. So what do I bring to the table? I bring someone that has... Well, I have not had the experience to be on a board. I have not had the experience to run an organization, but I am somebody that brings to the table humbleness. If I need help, I will ask for it. I would do not allow myself to bear too much more than I can take. I also like to work with other people and be communicative. So going back to what I said earlier, if I need help, I will ask for it. And if I don't understand, I will ask for clarification. I used to be a landlord here in Othello as well, so I understand what it takes for people to live in this environment. Even the landlord that cut the rent, I don't have to charge the max. I chose to charge less because I need people to afford, you know. There's logic behind these decisions. And I'm going to quote a silly proverb. It is a French proverb. It says, it is by smithing that one becomes a blacksmith. It is by running that one becomes a candidate. And that's why I'm here. So I also invite the community to ask me any questions as well. And that's all I got for you guys. Thank you.
Anything else, Jerry?
No, not at this time.
Okay, for purposes of this forum that you're in, only the city council asks the questions.
My apologies.
No, it's fine. That's appreciate your humility and want to thank you for applying for this candidacy. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd like to call forward candidate Oscar Lopez. Oscar, I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked the previous six. What motivated you to apply for the vacant city council position, and what will you bring to the table, Oscar?
As a committed resident, parent, and active volunteer within our community, I am eager to contribute my experience and service-driven approach to support the ongoing growth and well-being of Othello. I have over a decade of leadership experience as a people manager in production environments, where I have overseen teams, resolved operational challenges, and supported budgeting and process improvement efforts. These responsibilities have strengthened my abilities in communication, planning, and practical decision-making. I am applying for this council position because I care deeply about the city where I live and raise my three children. I want to be part of the decision-making and shapes Othello's future, and to bring calm, thoughtful, and service-oriented perspective to the council's work. Thank you for considering my application.
Anything else you want to add? Okay, thank you. I want to say this. I think tonight you've seen a wide array of skills and talents that are presented in these seven, and not everyone is going to be seated up here, or else we'd just clear the deck. I will say that there are leaders, everyone, and there are past leaders, there are present leaders, and there are future leaders in this group. And I honestly appreciate every one of you for completing a letter of interest and putting forth the effort to show up tonight. Prepare yourself for this speech. It's not easy to stand up and speak before a group. And I applaud you for your efforts. But your efforts don't have to end. The city, with the change of administration, is going to have many vacancies. One of them that I can think of is there's three vacancies on the Adams County Development Council that are from the city of Othello. If you haven't had experience or are not selected tonight, I would encourage you to contact the mayor-elect and talk to him about the different positions, not just on the Adams County Development Council, which is the economic development arm of Adams County, but also the Solid Waste Advisory Committee, and there are other committees that you could begin to find out what it means to begin in public service. We're going to have openings on the Planning Commission. As I think Chris Doro had pointed out, there's going to be more work to be done. Our Community Development Director would feel, Ann Henning would feel much happier if we filled those vacancies. And so again, I encourage you, if you have an interest and still continue to want to serve, if you're not selected tonight, would you please contact Mayor-elect Ken Johnson and talk to him about the vacancies that are available. Now, the rest of the process is the council is going to deliberate all of these candidates. We're going to go into executive session to do that. And then we'll come out of executive session and make a decision. So with that, I will adjourn at 6:57 p.m. And we will reconvene at 7:15 p.m. So in about 15 to 18 minutes. So at 7:15 p.m., we'll open up the doors and you can all come back in.